want to look at some very unique scriptures that I believe will help us to accomplish that which God has for our lives. In John, the 15th chapter, verse 7, it says, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it will be done for you." Now, two things happen. We abide in him, that is staying connected to him, and his words abide in us. So that means it doesn't necessarily automatically happen because there's an if. We have a choice. How many of you want to stay hooked up with Jesus? Amen. Allow his words to abide in your heart. So when that happens, then you will ask what you will, and it will be done. Because what's going to happen is your prayer life is going to be affected by two things. Your relationship with God, and it's going to be affected by the Word of God. And so that's going to help provide the boundaries of your prayer life. Now, when we go out of bounds, when we pray outside of God's will, good things don't happen. All right. How many of you, just be honest, say in the last couple years, maybe just in not knowing a whole lot sometimes, and I've done it, but how many of you'd say you've prayed some prayers that were not from the Word of God, and you're certainly glad God didn't answer them? All right. If we were playing football with our prayer life, you would have gotten a yellow card. All right. We'd have held up the whole thing, put your name in a book, and made sure don't pray that goofy prayer again. All right. Because outside of the Word of God, there's no basis for God to answer. Maybe you've prayed a prayer, something, God, you show them I'm right and show them they were wrong. Well, that's according to Psalm what? Psalm 201 verse you. All right. So God will not, and he's not obligated to answer prayer outside of the known will of God based on his word. And so our prayer life needs to be rooted and grounded in the Word of God, letting his words abide in us. Now, Paul the Apostle, Peter, John, all right, different ones, they were used by God to write the epistles to the church. All right, that's everything in the New Testament after the book of Acts. All right, the Gospels and Acts are historical accounts of the life of Jesus, the life of the church, all right, the events that took place, the teachings of Jesus, right? So there's much that we learn there from the words of Jesus and from his life. But then in the epistles, Paul is writing, and Peter is writing, John, and they're writing to the author of Hebrews, whoever that was, all right? And they're writing to believers. They're not writing to Jews. They're not writing to heathens. They're not writing for the whole world's consumption, but they are writing to believers. When you look at Paul's writings, he says things like, to the saints who are in Ephesus. How many saints are in Lusaka? Are you a saint that lives in Lusaka? All right. So the epistles are written directly to you. Now, God wrote the entire Bible. All right. So when it comes to, say, the book of Leviticus, where we have the law of Moses, we have to read that through the eyes of the New Testament. We have to interpret it through the cross. Because originally, that was written to Israel. It was written to Jews that were spiritually dead. That is, they didn't have the Holy Spirit on the inside. There were certain things that they did not, that we have access to, that they did not have access to. The book of Hebrews says that the law was written to Israel, but now God writes his law in our hearts. That's something that was not available to Israel. So the epistles are God speaking directly to you. Isn't that awesome? And so that's why in our life and our Christian theology, we must make sure that everything that we believe has roots in the epistles. All right? Now, there's things that will stem out of that. All right? Heard somebody say that it's like shooting a gun. That you've got a sight at the end and a sight in the middle. And you line them up. All right? So you line up everything that you believe with New Testament theology and the character of God as expressed through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Because we can see God when we see Jesus. And when you line those two things up, you'll be shooting in the right direction. All right? You'll have a good understanding of who God is and what He wants to do. Now, in the epistles, as God was speaking to these churches, one of the things that the Bible tells us is that the Word of God was not of human interpretation. All right? I don't know if you've ever been in a church service, and hopefully it won't happen at Miracle Life, but maybe this happened to you or a friend of yours, all right? That maybe the pastor was dealing with somebody, you know, something happened. And so you know what I'm about to say, all right? We talked about a GTI. So instead of talking face to face, we just preach to 500 people just so we can preach to you. You know, maybe we've been counseling you, you're seeing the wrong lady and everything. So we have a whole sermon, but we just speak it to everybody, but really we're talking to you. And it's not the Holy Spirit, it's just the pastor. All right. Now, sometimes it's the Holy Spirit. You think He did it, but He didn't do it. It was just the Holy Ghost. But it's written, it's to the whole church, the epistles are. All right. And it's God speaking to everybody at the same time. And so Paul is not just trying to nail certain people, but he's dealing with issues. But also in the epistles, many, many times, he prays for the church. Paul is praying for the church at Ephesus, for the church at Philippi, for the church at Colossae. Now, if that prayer is recorded in the Word of God, it's perfect. It's 100%. No yellow card, no violation, no fluff, no filler, nothing extra. It's pure 100% God's will. So it is for a New Testament believer. It is for the church. So that means they're for us, right? Because what Paul wrote to Ephesus was not just for Ephesus. It's for Lusaka. It wasn't just written for the first century. It's written for our century and for all other centuries that will come. So I want you to see a few of these prayers as examples, and then we're going to pray some of these prayers. All right? Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 9. Verses 9 to 11. Now, I would encourage you highly. These references, we're going to look at about three or five passages today, but write these in your Bible, all right? You could write in the back of your Bible, epistle prayers, all right? You could write Holy Spirit-inspired prayers. Because what I want to encourage you to do is to make these prayers a regular part of your devotions. Make these prayers a regular part of when you pray, pray these. There may be a phrase, there may be a verse, but they're 100% God's will for your life, okay? Philippians 1, verse 9 to 11. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in all knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things which are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So you see that. So if Paul is praying this for believers at Philippi, this would apply to believers in Lusaka. Right? Tell your neighbor, this is a prayer for you. And what a wonderful prayer. Look at the fruit. What would happen as this prayer is being answered, that our love would abound more and more. Amen? How many wives you think, I need to pray that for my husband? Right? Here's a thought. Do more praying than you do nagging. Come on, husbands, help me out here. Come on. There should be some shouting out here, all right? Pray for others. But here we're going to be praying for ourselves, all right? Our love will abound. We'll approve the things that are excellent. We'll be sincere and without offense, filled with the fruits of righteousness. That's a wonderful life. That's God's will for you. Now turn to 1 Thessalonians 3. 1 Thessalonians 3, 12 and 13. All right, here's another prayer. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that He may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all of His saints. So here is Paul praying for the church at Thessalonica, and it is God's will for us that we walk in the same things. Now, whenever we see a prayer, that means we need to pray it in order for it to take place. So that's why God never asks you every morning, get up at 04 and pray that the sun will come up. Because the sun coming up is not dependent on you praying. It's going to automatically happen, right? The Bible says that, or Jesus said, in this life, you will have trouble. Tribulations. Have you discovered you don't have to pray for them? They just seem to make their way to your house. All right? So you don't have, there's no prayer request. God, please give me more trouble. No, you don't have to pray that. That is a promise that will automatically happen. But here, if this is in a prayer, then that means we need to pray it in order for it to be fulfilled, right? So here we see a wonderful prayer. Our love will increase. He'll establish our hearts blameless in holiness. Now, let's look at two prayers in the book of Ephesians. In the book of Ephesians, they're in chapters 1 and chapter 3. We're going to start in chapter 3. All right, Ephesians chapter 3. Again, I encourage you to write these down. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Say, God bless Pastor. Ephesians chapter 3. To the church at Ephesus. All right, verse 14 says, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named. Isn't that great? We've got a family in heaven. Not just talking about your earthly brothers and sisters, parents who've gone on before you. But there's a family of God, and some are here, and some are there. Now, he says, I pray, verse 16, that he would grant you. All right, so this is God's will. He wants to give you something. According to the riches of his glory. So he wants to give you according to the riches of his glory. That kind of sounds like Philippians 4:19, doesn't it? That he'll supply all we need according to his riches in glory. So here we see there's more that God wants to give us from his riches in glory than just our financial needs being met. And thank God he will do that and enjoys doing that, but there's more. So here are more from the riches of his glory. Here's what it is. To be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. God wants you strong on the inside. He wants you strong on the inside. Now, there are times in life where our physical strength is tested. All right. How many of you here, you are over the age of 30? It's okay. We won't. Ladies, you don't have to raise your hand, okay? But you're over the age of 30, all right? Now, what that means is there have been times recently where you did something with your body and maybe your mind thought that you were 22 and your body, after you did it, said, you're not 22 anymore. I remember one, you know, as a young person, I did a lot of running. I was in cross country and I really didn't practice that much. But I would just run and do fairly well, all right? And so, you know, run like a 5K race or something like that. So there was, I remember visiting my wife's family one time and they had a 5K race and I hadn't run in years. I mean, a long time. I was probably right around 30, 31 years old. I hadn't run in a long time. I said, that's fine. I'll just go run 5Ks. Oh, my goodness. About halfway through, my body's telling me, you're not 22. So physical strength is tested. Spiritual strength is also tested when you run your race. The things that you face, the circumstances of life. And God doesn't want you weak on the inside. Jesus put it this way. He said, there was a man, he built his house on sand. And when the storms of life came, no house. But there was another one who built his house on a rock. The same storms of life. Storms of life come to everyone. The storms of life came and his house stood still. Why? Because he was rooted. He was firmly established. And God wants you strong in your inner person. All right? So that's one of the things that Paul is praying about here. All right? Then he prays in verse 17 that Christ would dwell in your hearts through faith. All right? That abiding, that he's there and he's staying and that you're aware of him. That you, being rooted and grounded in love. You see, that is the only soil for a healthy Christian. I remember going to Bible school, and the youth group they'd sell watermelon on Sunday nights, and the watermelon was the best watermelon I've ever had before, and I've never had anything like it since. And I asked the guy who was helping them, Farmer Dan. I said, "Farmer Dan, how in the world do you make it like this?" He said, "The secret is the dirt. It's the dirt. You can't plant watermelon in the same dirt year after year." He said, "This was brand new dirt that we had prepared, that we had gotten ready, and we planted watermelon. I'm not going to use that same dirt the next year." So the dirt made for a sweet watermelon, sweet fruit. Guess what? The dirt of your life, not the yucky stuff, but what you're rooted in, what you're established in, will determine whether your life is sweet or sour. The other day we bought I think it was a pawpaw, all right? And we cut it up and it looked nice, it seemed ripe, and then you put it in your mouth. There was no taste. It tasted like nothing. It's like somebody cheated you. It's like, "Here's this pawpaw. Why did you even grow if you can't be sweet? That's not what the way you're supposed to taste." And in your life as a Christian, it's supposed to be sweet. It's supposed to be a blessing. Wonderful fruit that will bless the world. But if you're in the wrong dirt, some Christians, instead of being in the root of love, having their roots down in love, they've been rooted in bitterness, anger, disappointment, unforgiveness. And guess what the fruit's going to be? We don't even want to eat it. Wrong dirt. All right? So let's get rooted in love. And then verse 18 says, here's a prayer request. Here's something that God wants to do. I'm going to read this from the NIV. It says that you may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. New King James Version says that you would be able to comprehend. Now, nowhere in the Bible, and really even for your own kids, no one is ever going to pray that you would have the power to comprehend that 3 + 3 = 6. "Oh God, pray that my students will understand this today." No. Any little kid in the world can figure that out. You put three little cars beside three little cars, and you've got 6, right? So you don't need power to grasp, power to comprehend. But how many times in life have you been in a situation where you did not comprehend? Maybe there was a language barrier, maybe an intellectual barrier, or just something. It seems like all of us in life, unless you're an engineer, unless you're a mathematician, there is somewhere along when you're learning maths, somewhere along that journey, where the journey stops. The classes keep going, but you stopped the journey. Because again, simple arithmetic, 10 minus 2 is 8, no problem. But all of a sudden now they start throwing in X and Y and cotangent and sine and, and F, a funny F function, all these kind of things. Some of you, it's giving you flashbacks, all right? I loved maths. I loved it. It was my favorite class. I always got good grades until my first year of university, second semester, I went to a class called calculus. To this day, I don't know what calculus is. I don't know what they do. I don't know any. I'm telling you the truth. I don't know anything about that stuff. Because on the very first day of class, this guy got up and he wrote his name on the blackboard. And that was the last thing I understood. For 4 months. Nothing. Zippo. Zilcho. I don't know. If my job required me to do calculus and you hired me, you are wasting your money. All right, so I couldn't comprehend it. But thank God today I don't have to use calculus. But guess what? You have to comprehend the love of God. You have to grasp it. But the Bible says you have to have power to grasp it. That's because it's too big. It's too wonderful. When God writes His name on the blackboard and He says, "All right, I want to talk to you about my love." Some of us go, "Oh, I can't understand. That's too wonderful. It's too high. It's too deep. The love of Jesus is so wonderful." And so He wants you to understand it. He doesn't want your brain to go tilt. He doesn't want your computer to shut down. He doesn't want a blue screen, black screen crash of the system. He wants you to live your life cognizant of His love, aware of His love, fully comprehending. Now, how is this going to happen? All right, so He wants you to grasp it. He wants you to know this. Verse 19 says, "And to know this love that passes knowledge." To know this love that passes knowledge. So in one sense, Paul prayed a prayer that he knew would never be answered. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Now, that word know, the first part, to know the love of Christ, it's a Greek word, all right? And it has the idea that it is a knowledge based on experience. A knowledge based on experience. Some of you say, "Well, I know football." No, you don't. You know how to watch football, right? You know about football, right? You don't know anything about it. You can't kick a ball. But, "Oh, yeah, I know football." No. You know about football, and that's okay. You know about it. But this knowledge is the knowledge that people have who play football. And that's why when you watch football, the best commentators are the guys who have played. They introduce it and we're thinking, "Well, why should I be? I don't know. Who's this guy?" And it says, you know, "Arsenal goalkeeper, 1985. Ah, I guess he knows a few things, right? Captain of the team for 20 years. Ah, that guy has played the game. He knows." And so God is saying, "I want you to know my love, not through sermons, not through songs, not through little SMSs. God loves you today. That's good. All right. He wants you to taste and see for yourself. Taste and see what? That the Lord is good." Now, I love watching cooking shows on TV. All right. I love cooking shows. If God gave me another choice for a career, I'd think I'd be a chef. All right. I love watching all that stuff. But you know what? Watching it is not eating it. And what's infuriating is these guys, they come up with these beautiful creations. And then they eat it themselves. This is so wonderful. And I'm sitting there, I'm eating potato crisps or something, you know. And they're eating gourmet food. I know about it. I have not tasted it myself. The prayer that Paul is praying, the prayer that we need to pray for ourselves, "God, show me your love. God, let me taste it. Let me eat it for myself. I'm tired of watching the cooking classes. I'm tired of just getting the SMSs. I don't want to watch the movies. I want to be in the movie." Amen. Another great example is these folks that are getting married. You're getting married real soon. You guys went to a class. Did you enjoy the class about marriage? Was it nice? You learned some stuff, chapters and wonderful wisdom. But do you know being married is different than the book on marriage? Right? Having children and raising children is a little different than the books on raising children. Now, thank God for the books. But, you know, there was a guy went across America for 20 years and he had family seminars. He had never been married and he never had any kids. That's called theory, right? And he told everyone how to love their wife. Heard a preacher say, this guy gave a seminar and he said, in the seminar, he had a PowerPoint presentation, everything like this. And he was talking to husbands. And he said, "The 9 things that your wife wants from you." And a pastor friend of mine said, "Yeah, I can tell that guy's never married if he thinks there are only 9. Theory, ideas. Thank God for theories and ideas. But the theory of God's love, God wants to show you His love. And He wants you to ask for that. Now, here's the wonderful thing. When you ask God Let me experience your love. God, I want to know your love. I want to know the heights, the depths, the length. I want to know the reaches. You know what God will start doing? Oh, he'll start working. He'll start moving. He'll start talking to that one. He'll start doing this. He'll start orchestrating your life, and you will taste his love day after day after day after day. I don't know how it will happen for you. Maybe it'll be a sunset that you've seen for 100 days. And all of a sudden on day 101, God is just speaking through that sunset. I love you. Amen. Whatever it is, God will show you his love. Now, turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. Now remember, write these scriptures down. Put them in your prayer journal. Let them be a part of your life. Ephesians 1:17. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Now notice he says, I'm going to keep asking. Now there are prayers that you just pray once. You pray them once and you say, that's it. It's done. I receive. But here is a prayer that you keep praying. Why? Because the prayer is to know God. The prayer is to understand, in Ephesians 3, understand his love. This is a prayer that is progressive. This is a prayer that can keep going. All right? It'll never stop. So what is the request? That he will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you may know him better. How many of you want to know him better? All right? Ask. Ask. Pray this prayer. Because the Holy Spirit, who is the spirit of wisdom and revelation, will begin to do this in your life. Now, verse 18, here's another prayer request. Very similar, but a little bit different. He said, I also pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Enlightened. A couple other translations talk about that your eyes would be flooded with light. Flooded with light. How many of you have had the wonderful experience of driving at night, coming upon a truck that has no lights, no blinkers, no reflectors? Doesn't that bless your life? Okay? It's dangerous, isn't it? It's dangerous. All right? And so, if you are driving in the dark, you're in trouble. How many of you have ever had in your where you live, you get up in the middle of the night to get a cup of tea or whatever you're going to do in the middle of the night, you don't want to disturb anyone, so you keep the lights out, and you're walking in the passage, and all of a sudden, poof! And you wonder who put that in the passage, right? And so it's 03 in the morning, you stub your toe, and out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks, right? Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Huh? Right? Right? Come on, be honest. How many of you you said something and you first thought, where'd that get in there? It got in your heart because you put it in there. Isn't that a bummer? The devil didn't put it in there. You put it in there. All right? Stop watching those dumb movies. Amen. All right. That was for free. So, in the dark, you will not go far. In the dark, there'll be accidents. In the dark, there's going to be trouble. But in the light, oh, it's wonderful in the light. It's wonderful in the light. I'll take you ladies' word for it, but what I understand about clothing and those kinds of things, that you can't really tell what color something is until you go outside. Am I right? Somebody told me that one time. But you think it's white? It's not white. Go outside and you realize, oh, it's cream. You think, is this dark blue? Is it black? I can't really tell. When you go outside, oh, it's so evident. Why? Better light. Better light. Now, how many of you can we're under light right now. You can read your Bible, right? You can see what's going on, all right? But you guys are just about a few meters away. Can you tell what's on my tie? Huh? No? Creatures. Huh? Can you tell? No, my insects. No, my mom is from the South in America. These are crawfish. You eat them. They're like prawns. You see that? Now you can see it, right? In the light, you'll see better. See, because the light is somewhat dim right now. But if we were flooded with light, you could see it right away. you could see, is it navy or is it black? Is it dark brown? All right. And sometimes in our Christian life, what God is saying is there are times where we're seeing, but we're not seeing as we should see. We need to be flooded with light. I kind of think of the movies where the guys are trying to run away from the cops, you know, and he's running through the woods and they've got the helicopters. He's got the they're searching for the guy, you know, and he's hiding everything. But once that light is on the guy, it's over. It's finished. Ah, he looks up, you know, and they've got him. Why? Because of the light. Because of the light, the light, the light. You know, the Bible says that evil men love the dark because they can hide stuff. All right. But God brings light, his light. And what he says, I want the eyes of your heart. I want you to be able to see things on the inside. And what's going to happen when you see? All right. There's a few things happening. That you may know, verse 18, the hope to which he has called you. Number two, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. And three, his incomparably great power for us. For us. All right? So these things that we're going to be able to see in the light, all right? It says to the things that he's called you. Message Bible says it this way, so that you can see exactly what he is calling you to do. Not in the dark, but that you can see exactly. All right? Talks about the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. So that is our redemption. What Jesus has done for us, his riches become our riches. His inheritance becomes our inheritance. God wants us to be in light. He wants us to know about those things. And then lastly, he wants us to see and to be able to comprehend that great power that is towards us who believe. And then he goes on to say, and it actually is in you. That great power works in you. So he wants us to know these things. Now, we're going to look at one more scripture and then we're going to pray. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. We'll start reading in verse 9. And here's another prayer. Here's something else that is exactly God's will for you. Colossians 1, verse 19. For this reason also, since the day we heard it, we do not cease to pray for you and ask. See there? Ask. We ask that you would be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That you would be filled with the knowledge of his will. Now let me ask you, if you've got a bottle that is filled, all the full, filled with Coca-Cola, how much Fanta is in that bottle? How much Sprite is in that bottle? Ginger ale water? Nothing. Because if you've got a bottle that is filled 100% with Coca-Cola, there's not room for anything. In fact, it gets rid of everything else, doesn't it? And so God's will for you as a believer is that you would be filled with the knowledge of his will. Of his will. A lot of people have wills. Other people, you have a will. But that our life would be filled, flooded, over the top with the knowledge of his will. Now, something's going to happen as a byproduct when this happens, all right? So he said, I pray that you would be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Verse 10, that. Another translation says, in order. All right, so when verse 9 happens, verse 10 is just around the corner. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. So, but what all starts this chain reaction of things happening is that we would be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom. That is, things that in a sense, godly common sense, the book of Proverbs, all right, understanding. But then there's other things called spiritual understanding. That is, things that we just don't get from a book. They're not just, it's not just good wisdom, but it's something that the Spirit of God shows you. He enlightens you. He tells you. Doesn't that sound like a good way to live? Now, here's the thing. Ask. Ask Him. Just as Paul was asking for the church, we can ask for ourselves. Now, what we want to do today, in the time that we have remaining, is, and this might be kind of a little bit of a new concept, but we want to pray with our Bibles open. All right, we want to pray these scriptures for ourselves. And so where Paul prayed, I pray that you would be filled. We want to pray, Lord, that I would be filled. See, this is a perfect prayer. 100%, wall to wall, God's will. And so when we pray this, this is automatically 100% in line with God's will and plan for your life. But He said, ask, ask. All right. So we're going to go ahead and turn to Ephesians 1. All right. We're going to go to Ephesians 1, and then when we're finished with that one, we'll go to Colossians 1. And what I want to encourage you to do is we'll pray together and just kind of let's all flow together. You pray about your own life for yourself. All right. And then we'll just kind of walk through this together. Now, I would encourage you, however you like to pray, you pray that way. That is, if you'd like to come up front and just kneel, have your Bible open here on the steps, we'll make this an altar. If you want to stand up, stand up. All right? Now personally, for me, I don't like to sit in a chair with my eyes closed because I tend to fall asleep. Okay, so I like to walk around. You might want to kneel down. All right? Paul said this in Ephesians 3. He said, I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he said, I get on my knees and I pray for you guys. I pray that you'll understand these things. All right? So I want to encourage you right now. We're just going to take some time. We're going to pray these prayers for our life. We're just going to use this and get used to it. But then we want you to take this home. And we want this to be a tool that you use in your own life. All right? So go ahead. Just pray however you're going to pray. But you're welcome to come up front. You're welcome to, you can walk around up here. You can kneel at your chair. But we would ask you, just go ahead and begin to do that right now, okay? Just go ahead and just pray as you're going to pray, and we'll get together and start praying. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Let's just turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, and we'll begin to pray this out. Pray this over our lives. Ephesians chapter 1. We'll start in verse 17. Father, right now, we thank you, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Father of glory. Father, what a privilege that it is that we can call you our Father. That we can call you our Father. And just friends, as we pray from the front, you just go ahead and just lift up your voice to God. Just lift up your voice to God. Pray through these scriptures. The Holy Spirit will get you kind of stuck on one. And you'll just be praying along those lines. It's okay if you want to, you can pray in the Spirit over these things. But let's just pray along these lines and we'll see all the things that God has for us. Father, we thank you that you are the Father of glory. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and you're the Father of me. Oh, that we've been begotten from above. We are born from you. Father, thank you that we have your nature. We have your spirit. We have been given the name of Jesus. Lord, that we're in your family. We ask you right now that you would give to us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus. Oh, Holy Spirit, we open up our hearts to you right now. A spirit of wisdom and revelation, spirit of wisdom and revelation. Father, thank you for what we know, but we need to know more. And we hunger and thirst after righteousness. We hunger and thirst to know Jesus. to know Him more, to know Him deeper and more intimately than we know right now. Father, show us by the Holy Spirit. Illuminate the Word of God to our eyes and our heart. Oh, that we would know You better, that we would know Him. Father, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. Father, thank You for light. Thank You that our eyes are flooded with light. Oh, You are the light, and we walk in the light even as You are the light. Father, we are children of the light. So, Father, we walk in that light. Illuminate our path. Shine Your light upon our heart. Father, that we can see. Lord, where it's been dim, where there have been shadows, where we really don't know what's going on, Father, illuminate our eyes. Open up our eyes, the eyes of our understanding, the eyes of our heart, that we may see. Lord, we declare those who sat in darkness will see a great light. Oh, we'll see a great light. We will see a great light. Oh, the light that comes from above. The light that comes from the very presence of God. The light that comes from Your Word. For Your Word is a light unto our path. Oh, we thank You, Father. Enlighten, enlighten, enlighten our eyes right now in Jesus' name. Father, so that we will know. So that we will know what is the hope of His calling. Oh, what is the hope of Your calling? What You're asking us to do, Father. That we may be in the know. Not in the dark, but in the know. In the know, Father. Oh, for every person, Lord. For our own lives, Lord. Thank You, Father, that we may know. That we may know. That we may know. Father, I need to know that. I need to know that, Father. I need to know. I need to know. I need to know that, Father. I need to know that. Thank You for light. Thank You for light. Yes, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Let me hear You. Let me hear more clearly. More clearly. Let me know, let me know, let me know. Lord, let others know. Let others know, Father. Let others know, Father. Oh, we thank You, Father. We thank You, Father. Oh, direction, direction, direction. Oh, direction from above. Direction from above. Direction from above, Lord. Not my ideas. Lord, not what I can throw together. Not what I can put together. But Lord, that which will help, that which will bless, that which will stand the test of time. Lord, that which will help so many, Lord. You orchestrate it, Father. You put it together, Lord. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Uh-huh. Yes, yes. Thank You, Lord. Yes, 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 yes. I agree. Yeah, yeah. Thank You, Father. That we may know, Father. And Father, what are the riches of the glory of Christ's inheritance in the saints? Lord, help us to understand and to know and to be enlightened. Our eyes flooded with light about our redemption. Who Jesus is, what He's done for us. Oh, the very riches of Your grace that we will know. Let our eyes be flooded, our hearts established in grace. What are the riches? What are the riches, Father? Lord, that we would know what are those riches. That we would know, Father. That we would know what are those riches. What are those riches, Father? Yes, Father. Not we need to know. Lord, we need to know. Flood our eyes. Flood our eyes with light that we would know. That we would know, Father. Oh, yes. And what is the great power? What is that exceedingly great power towards us? It's towards us, Father. It's directed, it's aimed at us, Father. Help us to know that great power. Help us to understand it, to put our trust in it, to make our plans by it, to fashion our homes and our lives by that great power. That great power, Father. Oh, and it works in us. It works in us. Oh, it works in us. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Oh, yes. And just over in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. Colossians 1 and verse 9. Father, we do not cease to pray. We do not stop praying, Father. We've started, but we won't stop. We've started, but we won't stop, Father, until we're filled. until we're filled with the knowledge of your will. Oh, Father, oh, for so many days, for so many years, Lord, some of us, Father, we've been filled with fear. We've been filled with doubt. Lord, we've had it topped up with man's traditions and man's ideas. But Lord, may we be filled with the knowledge of your will. The knowledge of your will. The knowledge of your will, Father. Lord, for every person here today, Lord, fill them, Lord. Fill them, fill them, fill them. Fill them, fill them, fill them, Lord, with the knowledge. With the knowledge, Lord. Again, we need to know. We need to know, Father. We need to know. We need to know. Wisdom, wisdom, wisdom. Oh, Lord, we listen as wisdom cries out, as she calls forth from the streets. We'll listen. We'll attend our ear. We will seek wisdom. We will look for it. Oh, and when we find it, we will have the precious fruit. We'll have the great riches that are found in wisdom. God, grant us wisdom, filled with your wisdom and spiritual understanding. Lord, for those who have been in the dark, for those who have been figuring things out in their mind, for those who have been leaning to their own understanding, Lord, Lord, fill them with spiritual understanding. Spiritual understanding. Not by might, nor by power, but by your Spirit, Lord. By your Spirit. By your Spirit. By your Spirit, Lord. By your Spirit, Lord. By your Spirit. By your Spirit. By your Spirit, Lord. Show us, show us, show us. Filled with wisdom. Filled with spiritual understanding. Oh, yes, Lord. And then we'll begin to walk. Oh, we'll begin to walk. Fully pleasing you. Fully pleasing you. Fruitful, Lord. Abounding in fruit, Lord. Things that we would have never would have imagined to come out of our life. Oh, such sweet fruit. Such rich treasures that will come out of our life for the blessing of others and for the advancement of your kingdom. Thank you, Father. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We declare our lives full, full of the knowledge of your will. Full of the knowledge of your will. Yes, we do, Lord. Yes, we do, Lord. Yes, we do, Lord. Oh, we lift up our eyes. We lift up our eyes. We thank you, Lord, for we know where our help comes from. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And right now, if we believed that, if we know that God is hearing, if we know God is answering, let's just begin to thank him right now. Let's just begin to thank him. You might not in your brain have all the wisdom right now, but go ahead and thank him. Oh, Lord, thank you for business plans. Business plans that are on the way. Oh, great wisdom that has already left heaven that is now on the way. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, wisdom, wisdom, wisdom. Spiritual understanding. Thank you, Father. Oh, yes, Lord. Spirit of wisdom. Spirit of revelation and the knowledge of Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. You're answering this prayer. You're answering this prayer, Father. Oh, yes. Yes, and Lord, we thank you. Oh, help is on the way. Help is on the way. Help is on the way that we'll know your power. We'll know our inheritance. We'll know your plan and your call. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Some of you, you just need to begin to expect. You need to begin to expect. And if you're expecting, you need to stop talking the way you're talking. You need to stop saying, I don't know. You need to stop saying, well, I'll never know. You need to start saying, I know when I need to know. I'm in the light. I'm in the know. You need to begin to set your mouth and to set your tongue like a rudder of a ship, as James says. Set it on the course that God has for your life. Set it on the course of what you believe right now. Oh, yes, Father, we declare we know your will. Oh, we have a spirit, the Spirit of God, and he gives us what we need to know. Thank you. He is the revealer of truth, and he lives on the inside of us. We are your children, and we always hear your voice. Yes, we are led by the Spirit of God. We are the children of God. Thank you, Father. Oh, yes.